Ooh, I heard that snake rattle there, Cajun Cannon, coming into this segment. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We're getting ready to talk to a Broncos beat writer from the Denver Gazette, Kyle Fredrickson, after our first break. We were going to break down, you know, what to expect from Sean Payton, his roster going into Saturday's game, but now we've got a little more interest in the interview upcoming since the Saints traded two future draft picks for a wide receiver, a big body wide receiver, and Devon Valet. And, you know, Saints fans are in uproar right now because they're giving up a fourth next year and a seventh in 2027. And then the Broncos fans, you go to their page and they're just as upset too, going, dumb trade, you're giving them up for marbles.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, you know, Sean Payton doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, like,
there's just the yin and the yang from both fan bases as far.
Yeah, it's like the Saints shouldn't have done it. The Broncos shouldn't have done it. I don't know. Well, the people who are in charge did it. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. I don't know, Steve. The more I think about it now, I think he's going to probably play Saturday. I mean.
You think you can get him up to speed enough to see if you like 5 to 8 snaps?
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get in the red zone. And then, you know, there's going to be a handful of plays, you'd think, then utilize them that way. And then all of a sudden, oh, look, they're putting him in the game in the red zone. You know, they're not going to double-team him in preseason. It'd be like one-on-one. See what he can do.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see the Saints taking on the Broncos. That's a noon start on Saturday, folks, right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Want to get into our WWL Sound Bank now, brought to you by First American Bank. Had that practice in the Superdome today. We got practice done and bolted over to make it in for Sports Talk. It ran a little bit of a later session today. The Saints will practice again tomorrow. Won't be as heavy duty. And then the game on Saturday, like I mentioned.
Well, training camp's over.
That's it.
It's over. All the hay should be in the barn. Now, hopefully, the barn don't catch on fire. And then, we can't utilize the hay or feed the cows in the winter. But, we laid the groundwork, OTAs. Mini camp.
Coach Kellen Moore's still smiling, so he's doing all right.
Yeah, still jokes with the media. He jokes around more with the media at times than I remember Sean Payton, Sean would almost kind of like intimidate you.
Like
at the beginning, especially like.
Right, you're like, oh, I'm afraid to even ask Sean that.
Yeah. Look at you like, why are you asking that question? Or, you know. That doesn't make
sense. Kellen will just laugh and say, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. And then you kind of chuckle along with him. So,
speaking of Coach Moore, here was his opening statement after today's workout.
All right. Really good day. We got a chance to come down to the Dome, have an indoor practice down here, just again get acclimated to the Dome and put ourselves in some game situations. And so, a ton of really good work for our guys. We did similar stuff that we've been doing the last week or two where there's some scripted with specific intent, and then we get into these call-out situations. And Charlie kicked a nice 58-yarder to win the game. And so, it was fun to see.
He mentioned that 58-yarder to win the game. Well, Charlie Smith still getting things done.
Well, it was halfway up the net. Barely crossed the crossbar. No, that was 58. It had been good from 68.
You would think he's going to be a practice squad guy.
Well, I think, Charlie, you might know this too, or Steve. I think
the
we talked about
roster.
This. Yeah, the international exemption.
Right.
We talked with Jeff about that, I think. Why not keep him around? I think how he develops that now, obviously, extra points got to be automatic.
Right.
If you kick it inside the 40-yard line, like a 38-yard, come on, dude, you can't miss that. You know, you're going to end up costing your team. You have to almost be automatic. That I think he'll eventually, because he works hard, and he kind of, I think he's tough mentally, and he kind of figures out what he needs to do to be more consistent. But just because he can't beat out Blake Groupie, I mean, doesn't mean he can't kick in the NFL. I think he can eventually be one of 32 kickers. I mean, like I said, Groupie's had, in the history of the NFL, I mean, I wonder how many kickers could say, did Jeff charge, I know Graf always charged the numbers about how many kicks exactly, a number of people chart how many kicks has Groupie actually kicked since training camp. I want to say 40-something, whatever, and he's missed one.
Right. We all talk about that in the rain and wind.
Yeah, and I wonder in the history of the NFL and all the training camps, how many players have actually done that? Like a Martin Anderson, the Hall of Famer. Pro Football Hall of Famer. I don't think he ever did that. Like, he missed like three or four or something. And then you look at the distance. Oh, but Bobby, how many times did Groovy kick it over 60 yards? What are you talking about? If he's doing like he did today, he made a 53-yard field goal. That's far enough. You know, and he's accurate at all the shorter distances. That's all you need. No. And Groovy goes about his business. Like, he seems really immature now, definitely like an NFL veteran kicker.
He's definitely one of my fantasy football late round steals, I think. I think if you can wait to the last round to grab a kicker and you get with Blake Groupie, I think you're pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even if Smith wouldn't be the Saints kicker, eventually, I think if he hangs in there and keeps, you know.
Somebody might eventually poach him.
Yes, and he'll be, I think he could be one of 32 in the world and kick in the NFL.
Well, we're going to get more into our WWL sound bank a little bit later. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, we'll come back with our Broncos beat writer, Kyle Fredrickson, get a little insights on the Broncos. Stay tuned right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Been breaking down a lot with the black and gold, getting ready for the Broncos on Saturday. Help us talk about the Denver side of things. Broncos beat writer for the Denver Gazette, Kyle Fredrickson, joining the radio huddle. Kyle, thanks so much for the time. How's it going?
Hey, it's going well. I appreciate you fellas having me on. And with the Devon Vele news, the timing couldn't be better.
Yeah, that's what I said exactly to the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Abier here. I was like, I was getting you to preview Saturday's game, a little bit about what to expect from Sean Payton and the roster. Well, one of the guys now heading over our way. Tell us about this big body receiver. I know the Saints are in need of one. The two draft picks going to Denver now, a fourth and a seventh in return for Vele. What was his first season like in Denver?
It was impressive, honestly, for a guy who's a seventh-round pick. He's a little bit older, being that he served a mission in Samoa after he was done with college in Utah. So, you know, gives him a little bit more maturity than most rookies, but he ends up being second on the team in receptions among wide receivers with 41 catches a year ago. So I think this whole Broncos offense, you know, the entire unit was a surprise with how productive they were with Bo Nix a year ago. And Vele was a big piece of that. And to be honest, I didn't get the sense that the Broncos were really interested in trading him, but the return, I think, was just far too great to be able to get a seventh and a fourth-round pick in next year's draft. You know, this is a team that's still really building for the future with a lot of young talent, and they love the receivers that they have. So in Vele going to New Orleans, you know, my expectation is they see him as a guy who's going to contribute for day one, right? If you're going to give up two picks, for a guy who's really, for the most part, not totally proven, it shows what they think his ceiling is. And so, yeah, certainly just to talk to as a guy, you know, Vele was great, you know, very personable, very mature. You mentioned being big-bodied. He's the sort of guy who thrives in the red zone, a guy who's not afraid to cross over the middle, big possession receiver, you know, very sure hands. So the Saints have a good one. And, you know, if it wasn't for the depth in that room that the Broncos have at receiver, I don't think they would have made that move at all.
You know, Kyle, and looking at that, trying to figure out maybe what Sean Payton's thinking, you know, you look at Courtland Sutton, I mean, another big receiver, 6'4", 216. He was a second-round pick going into his eighth season. You know, he ended up having 81 catches, 1,000-yard receiver. But is this maybe another reason why I said, oh, okay, we can go in this direction? I was reading about Marvin Mims Jr. Now he's going to his third year. He was a second-round pick in 23. And then just looking at his receiving production in the final seven games to a 1,000-yard pace. So is that kind of like when they're looking at that the fans or maybe Sean might want to utilize and more of Marvin and unlock the weapon that he thinks maybe he has in Marvin Mims Jr.? Because last November, that's when what he began, I guess, feeding him the ball. And the all-pro punt returner, you know, you look at his ability, and you think maybe that's along the routes that maybe Marvin Mims Jr. have more opportunities with Sean's offense and Bo Nix?
Yeah, certainly. Marvin Mims fits into that role as well as a potential, you know, number two wide receiver. Because Vele, heading into the year, they really did think he was going to be that number two guy behind, you mentioned Courtland Sutton, just based on his production a year ago. But, yeah, certainly with the speed that Marvin Mims Jr. has, with the punt returning, you know, his offense, his role on the offense has really expanded as well. They'll run him at Wildcat quarterback. They'll hand the ball off to him. So they love Mims. They also love Troy Franklin, who's a another Oregon product who played with Bo Nix, who came on late at the end of the year and has a fantastic camp. So they see him playing a bigger role. And also Pat Bryant, you know, he's a rookie out of Illinois, who's similar to Vele in that he's a big-bodied guy and not afraid to make those tough catches. So just a wealth of options, I think, for the Broncos right now. And like I said, with all that depth, it sort of made Vele expendable, but it had to be at the right price. And I don't think anyone in Denver, you know, before a couple hours ago, you know, thought that, you know, there might be two draft picks sent the Broncos' way to get him. But that shows you, you know, how highly the Saints obviously think of Vele, especially after watching his tape from last year.
Now, Kyle, to stay along those lines, I know how Sean thinks, and, you know, you don't have a weak link, but looking at the tight end position, the key addition of Evan Engram, you know, look at the Broncos. Is this a fair assessment that they had the NFL's least productive tight end room, considering it seems like the last couple of seasons that's been the case? And I know Sean wants to move those chains, and it seems like Evan Engram could be that security blanket also for Denver that they've lacked at the tight end position.
Absolutely. You know, that was a huge offseason signing for this team, and you mentioned it. They've been snake bit at that position, whether it's Noah Fant or Greg Dulcich. You know, those were high-round draft picks for the Broncos that simply just didn't work out. And so in Engram, they get the veteran presence, they get the leadership, and they get a guy who, when he's healthy, has proven he's one of the top pass catchers in the league. So I think that health component's going to be huge for him, but it seems like a great fit, at least so far. You know, he had a 58-yard catch and run in the last preseason game for Denver. I'd be surprised if he ends up playing many snaps against the Saints, but they love what they have in him. So, yeah, I think if you look at sort of how this offense is going to expand and you know, that safety blanket, you know, Engram certainly fits that bill, just so long as he stays on the field, you know, a guy who dealt with multiple injuries throughout the course of his career.
Now, Kyle, what is the expectations for the Broncos fan base? Obviously, I know we had a lot of comments when Sean was here. We always thought, oh, no, we got a great chance. We prime time, you know, handful of games and all that. And we were relevant, obviously, had the coach and the quarterback. But what are the expectations with Sean Payton and Bo Nix from the Broncos fans, considering you look how tough the AFC is, obviously the Chiefs, and you look at the AFC West, then you throw in the Ravens and the Bills and all and what occurred in the playoffs. So are they still taking a wait-and-see approach or what?
I mean, you know, from what Sean's talked about from the first day of their offseason meetings, he's talked about Super Bowl. You know, he says, hey, this is what the expectation is now. And so they know, you know, how challenging the road's going to be. You know, Kansas City is going to lead the AFC West until someone else says so. But they do feel like they have the pieces to compete this year. And, you know, I think with that mindset, of course, there's a lot of variables there. But, you know, when you look at offensively, you know, everything they have coming back at receiver with Bo Nix, you know, the bigger piece might even be the defense with Nick Benito. You know, you've got your returning defensive player of the year and
right.
Pat Surtain. So I think it's really just given the tools around Nix to allow him to not do it on his own, right? To not feel like he has to have the pressure of the franchise on his shoulders. But, you know, Sean he's certainly confident in the way he's talking about this group, saying it's one of just a handful of teams, you know, over the course of his career that he really feels like they have a shot. So a few weaknesses on defense, you know, they've got last year up the middle, they struggled and they've added pieces, Dre Greenlaw, middle linebacker, Talanoa Hufanga at safety. So, you know, several big name guys who they hope can be contributors, but sort of like Engram, guys who have an injury history, guys who are a little bit older. So, you know, you lose one or two of those pieces and all of a sudden, maybe that Super Bowl talk isn't so real.
You know, Kyle, I know what Sean always emphasized, and looking at Denver, I said, well, shoot, I can tell you how they won 10 games. They're scoring offense and scoring defense. I mean, when you're scoring 25 points a game, you know, can you be in top 10? And then you're only giving up 18.3, which is third best. No, that's a double-digit winning formula. And you look at that rush defense, number three, and total defense seven. But, you know, I was surprised because Saints, and now when you look at it, our special team coach, the Saints, that being, is now Coach Rizzi's with the Broncos, who, who's outstanding. Where we're always like a top five, you know, special teams program, if not top three. And we were excellent in punt return. We averaged, you know, anytime you double digit, 12 and a half. I'd always said if you had 14 yards, you're like all pro returner. And I'm looking at, whoa, look at Denver. They were almost 16 yards of punt return, number one in the NFL, 15.7 yard average. That's elite. So explain, is it a combination of the blocking or what are they doing? Or I know Coach Rizzi is going to love that when you see those kind of numbers.
Certainly. You know, and you guys brought up Marvin Mims earlier. He truly is electric as a returner. And, you know, they've been a very disciplined unit. And, you know, I think adding Rizzi is just going to make them better, at least from what we've seen so far in camp. I've been really impressed just with talking with him the few times that they've brought him out for media availability. And, yeah, just that trust with Sean and that cohesion. I can imagine that that will, again, be a strength. You know, this is a team that's found a lot of depth and guys on special teams who've moved into bigger roles on defense because of their success. And I would expect that to continue. But, yeah, you know, from the new kickoff rule and Rizzi's role and sort of getting that into the rule book and,
right,
and all the you know, minds behind that, it's a huge weapon for this team. And I think that when you have Marvin Mims Jr. back there, you know, there's always that chance that he's going to break a big one and flip the field. And, you know, with the Broncos playing at elevation, it seems like the range for their kicker, Will Lutz, just a little bit longer than some other folks and gives the Broncos, I think, another bit of a special team's edge.
You know, Kyle, and boy, look at how Denver's defense and that pass rush get after the opposing quarterback. I'm watching an NFL Network. You know, they got so many games. And I'm watching the Cardinals and Broncos. And Clayton Tune's engaged to my niece. So I'm watching Clayton Tune, you know, Houston Cougar, you know, and he's out trying to make the Cardinals. I'm like, man, he has no chance. I mean, and these are the guys that are the backups rushing the passer. So I just looked at the quality depth that Denver has. And I'd always, you know, say, well, if we amongst the best rushing the passer, we have to have high 40s. How many times you heard me say that, Steve? High 40s, low 50s.
Right.
We can't be having like 30-some sacks, you know, 48 to 53. Then you could be amongst the best in the NFL. Well, Denver had 63 sacks last year, number one. Explain that a little bit, because that's dominant. That's like amongst the best when you talk about NFL history and production, getting after the opposing quarterback with that number of sacks. And not only quarterback hurries or pressures, but finishing the deal and getting the sacks.
Yeah, it's a credit to defensive coordinator Vance Joseph and this roster they have, right? And the obvious reason, you know, is the edge rushers. You've got Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper, both double-digit sacks guys. But, you know, they obviously can't do that on their own. And I think they'll even tell you that a lot of those sacks are coverage sacks, because when you have Pat Surtain, you know, taking away an entire side of the field at corner, it just makes everything else a little bit easier, you know. And on the opposite side, Riley Moss, I think, is an underrated, you know, second starting corner in this league. He took a few bumps last year, but he's been spectacular in camp, another guy that they have really high expectations for. So you combine those two things, and then also the defensive line, right? Zach Allen is now, you know, got a big contract extension at defensive end. So they're getting pressure from a variety of places, and they're really playing an attack style to where we, you know, the first year with Peyton, you know, I think it was, you know, playing your zones, playing your gaps on defense. And now they're kind of just letting those guys loose. And that's just the confidence that they have across the board that they can do that. And, you know, they might give up one big play, but on the next they might get a sack for a 10-yard loss. So some give and take there, but with so many guys who are talented on this defense, it just makes it tough. And you mentioned even in that Arizona game, it was the backups. It was,
right,
you know, Jonah Ellis and Dondre Tillman, you know, guys who aren't household names in the league. But if the Broncos have any injuries or if they want to get fresh bodies in there, they've shown that they've got the talent.
Kyle, definitely looking forward to Saturday preseason finale, getting ready for the real deal. Has Sean been any forthcoming with you guys about his plans for, you know, starters in this game? Who's going to end up playing?
So I will say it's going to be a little bit atypical for a last preseason game, but I would expect starters to get 8 to 10 snaps. And that's just based on the Broncos practice schedule. They've had joint practices, you know, back-to-back weeks the past 2 weeks. And so you know, that's a great time for these coaching staffs to get a real nice evaluation of their starters as opposed to the game. But based on that schedule, I think they'll give those starters a little bit of run. You'll see some Bo Nix. You'll see Pat Surtain maybe for a series or two. And then they'll be back to the backups to make some pretty tough roster decisions for a team that really sees itself as very deep.
Kyle, definitely appreciate the time, and we'll be seeing you in the Dome on Sunday, Saturday. Sorry.
All right, sounds great, fellas.
All right, Kyle.
Kyle Fredrickson, Broncos beat writer with the Denver Gazette. Yeah, you heard him there talking about the newest acquisition too in Valet, the wide receiver. Going to be interesting because, you know, obviously when you hear comparisons to Marcus Colston, you get excited, but then it's, you know, why would Sean Payton give up a guy like that then? And I know he is an older prospect and 27 years old.
Well, you only have one football, and then I think when he hit it on the head, it made it a little sweeter. Oh, what, you going to give me a fourth round?
Yeah.
Along with, you know, a seventh round?
Supposedly, I forget who it was on Twitter. I'd give him credit the fact that there was other teams interested in Valet, and so the Saints had to sweeten the pot, as you'd say.
Yeah, and Sean said, okay, I'll yeah. Well, with Charlie, what you were saying, that was the 100th first pick if it goes.
If they end up with the worst
record.
That's typically like what, you know, day one and two of the draft is about 100 picks normally. So, yeah, if they end up with the worst record, that, you know, fourth round pick could be around 101.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, we got our big body receiver, 6'5". You know, that was all the talk of what was lacking on this roster. We'll see if he can provide that
contested catches, red zone
presence
red
that
zone
we haven't had. Right,
contested catches, red zone plays.
And who he's pushing in the wide receiver room?
Yeah, back shoulder, you know, type plays. And
Charlie, meanwhile, is pushing me to break. So I'm going to take a break and be right back with more after this on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk. We're going to hit our WWL Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank. After today's practice, the Rattler, Spencer Rattler, spoke to the media in the locker room. Here's a little bit of what Rattler had to say.
Just the calendar is down to one game and possibly 1 week to make final impressions. How do you feel about what you've done so far and how much you're still able to keep putting on?
Yeah, you know, feel good. Want to go out Saturday, play a good game with the guys, you know, control what I can. And kind of not look for the result, just look at the process and take it day by day. Don't look too far ahead.
How, you know, from what you wanted to accomplish when you showed up in July to now, how do you feel like you progressed? Where have you been in this process?
I feel just maybe mentally and just kind of seeing it before and getting out there and doing it again and having another year with these guys and create that chemistry. I feel like the system, you know, complements us all pretty well. And just want to keep building, want to keep stacking. Again, not look too far ahead and just, you know, stay narrow vision, you know, for what's to come.
How close do you think it is whenever it comes between you and Tom?
That's not up to me. I mean, that's whoever's decision, you know, whoever makes that decision, they'll make it. You know, I'm just controlling what I can.
Is it like a good thing, though, that both of you have given and something to think about? You know?
I mean, yeah, sure. Everybody want to take it, you know. We're both trying to be our best. Jake's trying to be his best. Everybody's trying to be their best. So we want to go out there and play good ball and, you know, get our teammates on our side and lead the guys.
You said between the first two games, there's been this trend where the guy who goes in second has the hotter start, I'd say. What's the key for whoever starts on Sunday to have that fast start?
Yeah, we just got to preach fast start. We have to start fast, you know, because it's hard to come back. So you got to start fast, stay fast. And that's something, Kellen, we practice every single day. We want to start fast. We didn't start fast today at practice, but we bounced back really strong and finished the rest of the practice strong. But we got to start fast, no matter who's on.
How much do you think you and Tyler kind of pushed each other in this competition? How much do you guys kind of pushed each other?
You know, I think it's just good competition with all of us. I mean, him, Hayner, we all push each other. Last year, me and Hayner pushed each other. This year, we're all pushing each other. But we all have our own, you know, personal, you know, wants and how we want to come about it. And but we love to compete. If you don't love to compete, you know, you shouldn't be the QB. So we all love to compete, and it's fun.
Kellen said that whoever the starter is, they're going to rally behind him. What does that say about Kellen and his demeanor just when he treats this?
Yeah, process? You know, I think that's good. You know, I think he's a great head coach. You know, just from being around him these last months, he's been awesome ever since he's been here, and he's got us headed in the right direction. And whatever he goes with, you know, I trust him fully.
Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler there, and he mentioned you heard talking about the fact they want to start fast, and that has not been the case on offense in the first two preseason games.
Yeah, that'd be a challenge against a good Broncos team. I mean, I know the game doesn't count, but the Broncos roster, top to bottom, they got some players.
And you
players.
Mentioned that defense. That's a great measuring stick right off the bat.
Yeah, and big challenge at offensive line. That's who needs to, you know what, yes. to get off the pot. The offensive line, how about you have a good game blocking? Run and pass blocking. And, you know, give the running backs and the quarterbacks a chance. So that's what I'll be looking at. I tell you, it's Saturday. I want to see if we get our ass kicked on the line or not.
No. Especially, like, up the gut, man. Oof.
No, and I think I'm not worried about our D-line. Now, our first D-line, our first defense. You know, like the depth, like with Godshaw and Chase Young, Carl Granis and all, and DeMario, and all, I'm not worried about them. I'm more worried about our guys we are counting on, O-line. Like Cesar Ruiz and all that, who's going to be the left guard come week one? We got our young offensive tackles. And you look at Banks, he's graded Pro Football Focus highest pass blocking tight end over the, tackle over the preseason. So that's what I want to see. I want to see what we're going to do. Because Denver was number one in rushing the passer last year.
Hello.
So that's a good team to go against right. Before the season starts.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We shall wrap things up when we return right here on WWL after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we close things out. And man, oh man, Cajun Cannon, this QB battle is very tight. You know, Coach Cullimore's talked about how difficult it is right now to name a starting quarterback.
I don't know if I've ever seen it this close when you look at a competition and actually playing preseason games. And just looking at the preseason game numbers.
Right.
In two games, Rattler has thrown 252 yards, one touchdown, and an interception. 25 of 34 passing. Well, you look at Shuck has completed 24 of 34 passes for 231 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. It's basically like mirror images of one another there. So
that's a wrap on today's edition of Sports Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us. For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller, Cajun Cannon. Say goodnight to the Who Dat Nation.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who Dat? Go Saints.